Tank is funded by listeners like you.
Today on Geek Tank, we talk about the different levels of automation in auto-driving cars.
Talk about the pros and cons and the future of the industry.
And Guy has to bleep Chelsea.
Ah, bleep.
After this. Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank,
your level 5-sized podcast.
Let us do the driving for you.
Today, we talk about autonomous cars.
Ba-bum-bum.
But first, the news. In the news, NASA will have a live broadcast today of the change of command on the ISS. And tomorrow, Joe Acaba, Mark Vanderhey, and Alexander Merskin return to Russia. And the undocking will occur at 6.08 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, as a side note, I have discovered that the Falcon Heavy has gotten the price per kilogram to orbit down to $47 a kilo. To give you an idea, the shuttle was $57,090 a kilogram to orbit.
Oh my God.
That's a bit of a difference.
Yeah. $47.
That's a chunk of change.
Yeah. Yeah. So now if you wanna get something to orbit, like you and I could afford to put like 2 kilos in orbit now. We could put your cat in orbit. We couldn't put life support in orbit, but we could put your cat in orbit.
A lot of people would be upset with that.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of people who'd be very upset about that. But we could put our own little like microsatellite in orbit.
The GoPro.
Yep.
All right, so coming out on Friday, March the 2nd, is a remake of a film from 1974, Death Wish. It's being directed by Eli Roth, who's mostly known for his horror films. So I'm expecting this remake to be quite gory and violent. All right, so, and it's going to be starring Bruce Willis, who's...
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I guess is a kind
came out of retirement for this or something.
Hit or miss thing, I don't know. All right, so here. Dr. Paul Kersey is a surgeon who only sees the aftermath of Chicago violence when it is rushed into his ER until his wife and college-age daughter are viciously attacked in their suburban home. With the police overloaded with crimes, Paul, burning for revenge, hunts his family's assailants to deliver justice. As the anonymous slayings of criminals grabs the media's attention, the city wonders if this deadly vigilante is a guardian angel or a grim reaper. Fury and fate collide in the intense action thriller, Death Wish. So there's some cool stuff I found out that I did not know. The original Death Wish was the first film that Herbie Hancock scored.
Huh.
And it's also... Of all the people. I love his music.
Me too.
It was also the film debut, the first one in 1974. It was the film debut for Denzel Washington and Jeff Goldblum. Two actors that I love. But that was like their first film that they were in.
Back when they were BBs.
And they were both bad guys, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
They were both bad guys.
Charles Bronson fodder.
Bronson fodder.
Yeah, so I'm not thinking this movie's probably not going to be that good, but it's Bruce Willis, so I'll end up seeing it anyway.
Yeah, you'll end up watching it.
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
Again?
Yeah. So what's super cool is their new game, Assassin's Creed Origins. They have a thing called Discovery Tour, which turns the game that's set in Egypt from a giant sandbox into essentially a museum. So it's
I thought Egypt was a giant sandbox.
It is, pretty much. Cats from all over the world.
But watch out, because they'll try to get you with their pyramid schemes.
It's true.
I'm going to just claw my way out of this one.
Yeah, you want your mummy.
There's 75 guided tours of monuments, buildings, people, And it'll take you down a path with little checkpoints here and there that you can interact with. They're narrated and even include photos of the statue you're looking at or like blueprints of a room. What sucks is that if you don't want to pay like $60 for this awful game, you have to pay $20 for the interactive museum. What's up with that?
Just wait a couple of months and you can get a used copy for
can
$20,
I just
right?
pay the artists instead of Ubisoft? Can I just like pay the artists directly that $20? Like, I would prefer that.
There you go.
I think they would prefer
send them
that.
An email. Find out.
I will.
Yep. Okay, well, and that's the news. So today's episode is about autonomous cars.
Yay!
Yay, we covered this, but Chelsea wasn't part of the group, so we figured, hey, let's come back and revisit this one.
Yeah, recover it.
Did it go
drive
somewhere?
Right over it.
We're recovering it. We're retreading it.
Okay.
We're going into third gear.
Right, we just want to make sure people don't get tired of the subject.
Ha ha, yeah, man.
I think that one sped right past them.
Yeah, well, we covered it a while ago. It was a good year.
It was a good year.
Driving me mad.
But it was where the rubber meant the road.
Rim shot?
Okay. But stemming from all of this, we're going to go on ahead and go into discussing some of the more detailed stuff. This one we're going to have more information about.
Like we didn't really talk about what exactly self-driving car or autonomous cars meant.
Mm-hmm. Right. We kind of went into a lot of the other bits and pieces of it, which we'll go into with this episode too, but we didn't go into a lot of the details. Like, for example, we want to talk about in this one, what exactly is self-driving autonomy? Because there are five levels,
starting with zero, actually. Mm-hmm. A zero-level car means you do all the work.
So yes. What you do now?
Yeah. Well, wait, first, because I wrote this down.
Okay.
These were established by the SAE International. The SAE International is the Society of Automotive Engineers. There we go.
Yay.
So, level zero.
You do everything.
Apparently.
You do everything. You make the car go forward. You make the car go backwards.
I'm assuming it's not the level of, like, the Flintstones. You don't put your feet through the floor and push.
No, no,
it still has
they mean specifically
an engine and things.
Steering
it says,
and
right,
accelerating
yeah.
and
automated right. system issues warnings and may momentarily intervene but has no sustained vehicle control. So actually...
Oh, that's level one.
No, that's level zero. It says it right here.
My SAE says level one actually has the driver assistance where it can... do the self-sustained. Level
right,
zero this, says nothing.
Right. Level zero. Yours has actually got like an
Mine
old like
zero.
Ford on it.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have a zero. You have a... Oh, you do have a...
Yeah, it says level zero. This is in Wikipedia.
I see.
Level zero is automated system issues warnings and may momentarily intervene but has no sustained vehicle control. So obviously, they don't all agree.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not. This
so.
Is...
So that moves into level one.
I'm on wired.
On ours.
I'm wired.
Level... You're wired.
I'm on tech.
Your mom's
probably.
Wired. Level one.
Level one means most functions are still done by the driver. You're in control, but a specific function like steering or braking can be done automatically by the car. Like that braking system.
Yeah. So this is adaptive cruise control.
Yeah, level one cruise control.
Yeah.
So this is like the newer versions of cars now, which have adaptive cruise control and like will automatically stop when they see an accident ahead or something like that.
No.
Level two is the stopping.
Level two is
level two says it's like a toddler helping with the dishes. A level two car can help, quote unquote, you drive as long as you keep a careful eye on it. Sure, the car can maintain its speed, slow down to avoid other cars, and stay in its lane. But if any trouble comes up, it's up to you as a human to take over. Tesla's autopilot system is the best known example, even if some drivers treat it more like the advanced system.
Okay.
That's so interesting because, like, I'm seeing your levels are off by one as far as what Wikipedia reads.
Yeah.
Because the way Wikipedia is reading
it. Same thing, like, drivers disengage from physically operating the vehicle by having his or her hands off the steering wheel and foot off the pedal at the same time, according to the SAE. But the driver still needs to be ready to take control. So if, like, the car's not braking and it's about to hit a truck, you need to take control and brake or get
right.
in another lane.
Right.
It still does the lane centering, the cruise control. And it can accelerate and decelerate.
Right.
So it's taking in information, but it's still not 100% hands-off.
Does yours go to level five?
Yeah.
Because at this point, level five is going to be time travel according to yours.
No. So
true.
So it says, that was level one for you guys?
That was level two for me.
Level two is hands-off. Mm-hmm. The automated system takes full control of the vehicle, accelerating, braking, and steering. The driver must monitor the driving and be prepared to immediately intervene at any time if the automated system fails to respond properly.
Yeah, see, this level 2 has no steering involved. The car does not steer.
Right.
For okay. this level 2.
So level 3 on mine says eyes off. The driver can safely turn their attention away from the driving tasks.
Yep.
E.g. the driver can text or watch a movie.
But this is under certain traffic or environmental conditions. From what a lot of I've seen, level 3 is basically for highways. It's not for busy roads that have a lot of different intersections.
Right.
Does it give an example? Because this one gives an example of the Audi's prototype A7 for level 3.
Right.
I don't know.
So let's see.
Level 4... It says on mine is mind off at as level 3, but no driver attention is ever required for safety, i.e. the driver may safely go to sleep or leave the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Self-driving is supported only in limited areas,
it's,
like geofenced or under special
circumstances,
like traffic jams.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of these areas or circumstances, the vehicle must be able to safely abort the trip, i.e. park the car if the driver does not retake control. And then level 5 is steering.
Uh-huh. Level 4, specifically, it's limited to an operational design domain. So it doesn't cover every single driving scenario still.
Right.
It's in a controlled environment.
Right. That's what it says here, like a geofenced area.
This calls it a safe place. On here.
And then a safe
Your car
space.
Needs a safe place.
The car needs to be in a safe space.
And then level 5 is fully autonomous, mm-hmm. but
yeah,
it expects
steering wheel
the vehicle's
optional.
Performance to equal that of a human driver.
That's what Google's aiming for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in every driving scenario, including like extreme weather, dirt roads, paths that haven't been navigated by a car before, that you know they're going to use maps to navigate, but the biggest thing about level 5 is we are not there yet.
Well, right. According to what I have, level 3 is not even on the market yet. I don't know if Wikipedia says different.
Nope. Wikipedia is just simply establishing the 5 levels,
okay.
which seem to match Chelsea's. They just don't seem to match.
It looks like level 3 is where we start matching because...
Yeah.
But just 1 and 2, they're confused on your...
The biggest thing is that most cars are at level 2 or 3 at this point.
Right.
That have the autonomous driving. And the problem is that some people feel like they can take their hands off the wheel completely and just not pay attention. So there have been a couple accidents.
There have
been. People not intervening with the vehicle. Like one guy ran into a truck and it's because the system warned him verbally and then visually on the steering column and told him, hey, you need to brake. You need to take over. Like, help.
Right.
And he didn't do it. And so a crash.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops.
Maybe he was looking for a lawsuit.
I don't know. There were rumors that he was watching some Harry Potter film, but apparently that's
well, the Harry Potter accident was actually a different thing altogether. That Tesla that went under the rig at Harry Potter, the Tesla didn't see the rig because the rig was white and the sky was white.
And it was coming off this side.
And so
maybe I just mixed the two because they both involved trucks.
Yeah, because the
what
Tesla.
What were the results of the Harry Potter crash?
The Harry Potter crash, well, he was fatal.
The car,
he was killed.
Dang.
The car literally couldn't see the truck. And
the car couldn't see it.
It's not fully autonomous, so it did need the driver to take over, mm-hmm. but it didn't warn the driver. And that is how we learned about this. You know, this could be fatal.
But all of these things are happening. I mean, like we just had last week, we had a Tesla crash into the back of a fire truck because Teslas have not learned yet what a fire truck is.
Oh, no.
So it crashed into a fire truck. So the fire truck was on the side of the highway, and it hasn't learned a fire truck. So, I mean, it's like Teslas have to learn, and that's what they're doing. They're adapting. They're learning.
But that's why these things are still testing.
Right. And that's why Tesla continues to say you have to have your hands on the steering wheel at all times for all of these things.
Yeah.
And until you hit level 3 or 4, or until you hit that level of autonomy, they cannot legally remove your hands from the steering wheel.
Right.
Because
it wasn't too long ago there was an automated passenger bus that was backed into because the bus didn't know how to
go backwards
to avoid someone backing
right.
at
yeah, they,
it.
They watched the people in the bus watched the car
the
back
car
into the
back
bus.
So the bus's fault was it just sat there and did nothing.
Yeah, the bus is like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
I'm just going to sit here.
I was
impressed.
But
my favorite was the articles that the bus caused the crash. Like, both vehicles caused the crash.
Right.
Both the bus and the vehicle backing into it caused the
crash. See, if that was a real
crash.
Person driving, the person wouldn't be charged with crashing because they just sat there. It's the person who backed into them that's their
right.
fault.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's weird because there's no driver at that in that car, but they do have front sensors, and their front sensors didn't do anything about it. Well, it's like, okay.
Yeah, at least it just start honking annoyingly, because that's what a person
hey,
would do.
Hey,
stop backing up at me.
I am here. Hello. Hi. Yeah. Please don't. Okay.
Yeah, please don't hit me.
There have been a lot of accidents involving people rear-ending self-driving cars because they obey the speed limit and they stop at yellow lights. They stop right at yellow lights.
Right.
BMW is working on technology so it'll roll forward a little bit at yellow lights. Just a wee bit. Mm. So it'll still be in transit, but like people can see it. The problem is that self-driving cars don't drive like humans.
No,
they drive like robots. They obey speed limits and they obey traffic
control. Humans will run the light.
Exactly.
Although there are humans who will stop at the light and they also get hit from behind.
Right. Sure. I mean, if you actually follow the speed limits and follow the lights, you'll get hit. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, that Elon Musk has said this a number of times. No matter which way you look at it, per vehicle, the fatality rate of humans is still massively higher.
We've had two fatal accidents since this whole project started.
Right.
And it was a combination of people not understanding what was going on with their car and the car having difficulties. So it's both on the driver and the car itself. And they are learning from it. They're expanding upon it. They're trying to figure out how to make it so these things don't happen. But a lot of the collisions that have happened have happened at 30 miles or less.
Right.
30 miles an hour or less, I should say, speeds. So
they do really great on the freeway.
Really bad injuries.
Yeah.
And yeah, they do amazingly well on the freeways, which is nice. I'm hoping that at some point freeways will just not have lines on them. They'll just be giant slabs of concrete, and that traffic control can open up lanes. So say like southbound is like crammed with traffic,
you're welcome.
Right?
Thanks.
So they'll open up two more lanes and then close and narrow the northbound lanes so that traffic can flow better.
Right.
Because more people are doing this and less people are going this way. So why not? And that hopefully the speed limit can be increased because the cars all have sensors and can read each other.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things
that...
It'd
be nice to go 90 miles an hour on the highway and not have your hands on the wheel, like screaming, crying, throwing fits, you know.
Like my grandfather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My car shakes at 75 and up, so...
It's just scared. Patted a lot.
It's getting cold.
Yeah. So it's all good. Let's head off to a break, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion.
Hi there, I'm Mike Quinn, puppeteer from The Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, a lot of the Muppet films, TV shows, Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
We are back. We are at our favorite Starbucks here, south of First, north of Alameda on Wadsworth. Mm-hmm. And we are talking about self-driving cars.
Woo.
So it sounds like a lot of the accidents are happening because people are treating level 2 cars like level 3, level 4 cars.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is not uncommon. That's like a normal human trait.
I mean, there's warnings all over the place, but things still happen. I mean, how many people still text and drive? How many people are still
talking
on their
phones? People with 4-wheel drive cars think that means 4-wheel stop. And they'll go
and they drive in snow. Yeah.
That's my favorite. Oh my gosh. On a snowy day, seeing a Texan or a Californian spin out on the highway.
Yeah, so my speaking of the getting hit from behind by breaking at lights, I'll now throw
I don't want to know about your private
Troy,
life.
Whoa, too late now.
Oh.
So my Troy's driving instructor tip is cover your brakes, or what sometimes we call fluttering your brake lights. And that is where if you just apply a slight pressure to your brake light, to your brake, it'll turn on your brake lights. Mm-hmm. And if you flutter them, it flashes your brake lights red. That'll help communicate to the person behind you, hey, I'm going to stop.
And it also it draws their attention. It
draws their attention instead of just constant red lights.
I do that a lot in snow because, you know, when you're sliding, mm-hmm. you're supposed to flutter the brakes.
If they're not anti-lock brakes.
Yeah.
If they're anti-lock brakes, you're supposed to actually apply the brakes with equal pressure. Mm-hmm. If they're not, then you do need to...
I have to flutter mine.
Because that allows you to keep it from locking and skidding.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I've got some real interesting mind benders that I've been picking up from Reddit because...
Yay, Reddit.
Because
Reddit.
You read it.
The den of the internet. It.
So here's some things. First of all, Uber is really into level 5 self-driving cars. Okay. This is their thing. They're really big on this. That's cool. Amazon is too. But they're not making cars. They're making little vehicles that will drive all the way up to your house And that's what they're after.
Well, and the biggest thing is that they're still hiring drivers at this point. Like, Amazon Now is big in Colorado. I don't know if you guys have had it. They'll deliver within 2 hours to your house. And they'll also do groceries.
Yeah.
Which is super, super nice because somebody will come drop off some stuff on your porch.
Sure.
And
will the Uber self-driving cars be programmed to harass women?
Probably.
Okay.
But there's some interesting structural things that I think are fascinating about self-driving cars. For example, UPS unions want to ban using drones or driverless vehicles.
Because they want to keep jobs.
They want to keep the jobs. Now, we've had that over the years numerous times.
Yeah, I mean,
where something, I mean, Oregon, we just recently had Oregon turn over their gas laws because of the fact that in 1950, the gas station attendants wanted to or feared losing their jobs.
Pumping gas.
So they and so that's an interesting thing. We've got a structure that's going to end up walking away. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting.
Well, and there are some people who really enjoy driving. Like, there are days where I like to go out and drive. I enjoy my commute to work, and I'm okay with it. But there are other days where I'm so frazzled from work, I don't want to drive home.
Yeah.
And I dread it. Or I'm tired in the morning, and I don't want to get in the freaking car and sit in traffic for 20 minutes. But if we have self-driving cars, I'll just get in my car and freaking sleep or work.
I have to say, if I had a self-driving car, I would draw.
Yeah.
I would spend the entire time drawing. I love to drive. I really do love to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be really sad to lose my driving car. But I would drive on weekends. Mm-hmm. It would be like riding
a
horse.
It's like a leisure activity.
It would be a leisure activity. I would drive my car up in the mountains and have my driving time. Mm-hmm. And then for my commute, I would do my automatic car.
I don't think we're going to live this long to see it. We might.
We might.
My guess is that there's going to be two levels of insurance. Those who want to still drive their own car will be paying more for insurance.
Yeah.
Definitely. And will there be different types of licenses as well? Because you have sports cars, you have off-road vehicles. There are Jeep enthusiasts here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You know, what if you want to go off-roading? That's very expensive because you could damage the car.
Yep.
So that insurance premium might be a lot higher.
Right.
A sports car might be a lot higher because you're racing. Oh, my gosh. With self-driving cars, there's going to be no more racing.
Self-driving off-roading vehicles are going to be looked at the way that rugby players look at football players.
What is wrong with you?
So with the getting back to the technology droning out jobs, I think it's going to come down to who's running policy.
Right.
And the person running policy, which end of that are they making money off of?
Well, that means that we need to watch out for that because that's going to end up happening here. We're going to start seeing legislation that's going to start saying, oh, self-driving cars are dangerous. Yeah, dangerous because of things.
Reasons.
And you're going to start seeing weird stuff like that happening because you're going to see that's going to be pressure from the lobbyists.
Yeah. My question is, with Uber still being a thing and people want it, and Uber wanting to do self-driving cars, why would you own your own car?
Yeah.
Why would you bother paying all that money if you could just catch a self-driving Uber?
It'll become an investment thing if you have the money to get it and then use it to turn around
it's
to make money off of it.
It's going
to
become like the ultimate luxury at that point. Because otherwise you could just order an Uber for like $5. You pay the tank of gas. There's no driver in it, so there's no need to tip.
They'll be electric.
Maybe a little extra for the maintenance. And it makes it affordable for everybody to Uber wherever they need to go. Mm-hmm. It makes it affordable for people, like, when you go out on a date, you can both have a couple drinks and get in the car and feel okay about it because you're not worrying about having to drive home.
That's true. That's true.
Well, you kind of get that with the regular Uber, don't you?
Yeah, but sometimes you get
weird
drivers.
But you don't have to put up with a goofy driver.
Or goofy clients.
Well, yeah.
But here, taxi companies are already complaining about Uber, so now Uber's going to be complaining.
Yeah, but taxi drivers drive like I'm
unions.
Sorry, I just got back from New York, and sitting in a taxi was awful. It was an awful taxi. It smelled horrible. It smelled like stale cigars and perfume. And being in
that's part of the experience,
Uber
though.
Here, the Ubers were much nicer. The cars varied, so I could get an SUV if there were five of us. I could get a regular tiny hatchback.
And it's one of the reasons I think why taxis want to get rid of Uber.
Because they're not making money anymore. Because they don't have the variety. Especially here.
Well, they're a better service, and they're running the taxis out of business.
To me, taxi drivers have always had this horrible reputation of being very reckless drivers, whereas Uber drivers are very safe and cautious, and so is Lyft, because they're usually buying their cars through that service or leasing a car through that service, so they need to take care of it. And they've already been vetted as good drivers.
Right.
You know, and I drive every day towards the airport because I live by the airport.
Right.
And there are taxi drivers who are always cutting me off in the lanes and freaking swerving and speeding and almost hit me like 90% of the freaking time. I hate taxi drivers. I don't have any issues.
She has issues with taxi drivers.
We might as well call taxi drivers Ubisoft.
As opposed to
Ubersoft.
Ubersoft. Yeah. So
what are some of your other Reddits?
So a drunk Tesla driver was arrested, even though his car was on auto drive.
Well, yeah,
now, there's an interesting thing.
He's still driving an autonomous car.
That's
on
right. He's not level three.
One. Yeah.
Well, no. But there's an interesting. Obviously, at this point in time, he's not at a. He's the technology isn't qualified.
No. I wonder how the cop identified him and pulled him over. Obviously, he was doing something.
Because he was passed out behind the wheel.
Oh.
Not
allowed. When the car specifically tells you not to do that.
Yes. The car told you not to do this. The car was moving. He was asleep. So, you know, so San Francisco cop pulls him over.
Finds him pass out and charges him with drink driving.
So did the Tesla pull itself over, or did he wake up and pull himself over?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be awful?
San Francisco police were entertained by this and said, don't do this, guys.
Right.
No.
I know that the Tesla will allow you to. Please don't do this.
They just need to have a program where the cops just tell the Tesla to reroute to the police station.
I'm sure that's in the next update.
Yeah.
But there is one thing
Tesla,
I wanted to say, kind of coming back coming back to Uber being in that thing and having Uber cars. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Elon Musk has been talking about is Mode 2. They're in Mode 1 at the end of Mode 1 right now, which is the Uber plan, the big plan for Tesla as a company. Mode 1 was to build cars.
Yep.
Mode 2 is when he started building semis and started building pickup trucks. They're in Mode 2 now.
Yeah, cause
but one of the other things he had said with Mode 2 was that he was going to start building it so that his Teslas, the Model S, the Model 3s, and all of the Model X's,
yep.
All of them have a specific program that they will run, which if you want to do this, you can. This is opt-outable, obviously, which is you drive to work with your Tesla, and then you get out of your Tesla and you set it for Uber, and it goes off and does Uber for you during the day and makes money. And then you come back at the end of the day and it picks you up at the end of the day and it has made an extra $500 for you during the day.
Yay!
And it's just done that during the day.
I would love that. That would be really
nice. I mean, that would be really cool.
You would love that.
But not everybody would. But
well,
and I get
if
that.
You can afford a Tesla, I don't think you care about $500 a day.
Well, it's necessary. Well, no, yeah. A Model 3 is $35,000. That's a normal car.
My boss looks at for any opportunity to make money.
Yeah,
some
but,
people are
but I'm just saying that a Model 3 is $35,000. That's
to
a normal car.
To you. Yeah, and some.
But
I mean,
and
some
so what he's saying is that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That
I didn't
would help
cut you
pay
off.
It off.
It would. Not only would it help you pay it off, but it would be also. It's a different world. Mm-hmm. That's a different world he's talking about. He's talking about a world where, if you have a car, the car does work for you during the day. If you don't have a car, you're riding somebody else's car that's doing its work for you during the day.
Right, or you send off your car to go to Amazon and pick up packages and deliver them.
Or whatever. It does jobs.
It's just making things.
It has a mission during the day.
Yeah.
What Elon Musk was saying was most cars spend most of their time sitting. And he was trying to, his mission statement is to stop that.
You should get them flying.
So then the next question. Right, the next question that Reddit asks, which I think is fascinating, is provided that that's the case, what happens to parking lots? Right? I mean, let's just say that 75% of us all have our cars going out and doing Amazon deliveries all day long while we're doing this.
Yeah.
25% of us then, that's 75% of the parking lot spaces in downtown Denver that are no longer being used. Mm-hmm. So there's more real estate downtown that hasn't been there in 50 or 100 years.
God, like Denver will look like New York.
I know. You could all of a sudden be able to really expand the real estate of downtown. Mm-hmm. But not only that, what if you sent the other 25% and you just had them go home? You know, okay, so you don't want to have your car running around downtown all the time. Okay, that's fine. But it goes home. So you don't, what you say is that Denver's a no parking zone. There's nobody parks in downtown anymore.
We'd either build car garages going up or car garages going down. In New York, they have, and they're about 7 cars high, they have the belt racking system that dealerships use. So you drive the car in and then you move the belts up.
Mm-hmm.
So the car goes up and gives another space. That's kind of
what it really comes down to. Do you want
Japan
your car to get
too.
To go home? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of situations where this is going to end up sucking for people, or you're going to end up taking someone else's car home instead of yours.
Right.
Because, okay, I'm going to the store. Oh, my kid just threw up all over me, but my car is halfway across town driving somebody else somewhere.
Well, I mean, so, there's always going to be those situations. But the problem is that you're looking at this from an American point of view. I've been in Japan where nobody has a car.
Well, see, yeah, they've had to grow up living, walking home covered in puke.
Right. Or getting on the train covered in puke. Or getting on the...
it's like New York,
it's,
I guess. Right?
It's like any place. We're used to this because we're Americans. So there's a certain amount of that that's true. I mean, but you can't sit there and stand on tradition of the fact that we've always had cars.
Well, would be
therefore,
nice.
Comma, we should continue to have an extension of that.
The question is it making it easier or worse? Because going from a horse to a car made things easier.
Right.
Now we're talking about going from a car to not having a car available.
We're trying to make our cars more functional.
Well, functional for who? So we're going to go to break while we think that over, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Senda from She's a Super Geek. You are listening to Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. If you like Rocky Mountain Geek Tank, you may also like my podcast, She's a Super Geek, which you can find at sasgeek.com.
And we're back again. And Troy, you wanted to salvage the situation, so you take it.
We're going to need to keep parking lots because otherwise the cars are going to have to be in constant motion, which will cause lots of congestion.
Well, except it'll be automated, so there won't be congestion.
No, but they have to charge at some point.
But you'll just clog the road, so there'll be too many.
I blinked.
It'll be better to have them on standby, moved out of the way. It just means that instead of one store having to have its own parking lot, you'll have a really large parking lot that's central to about 5 or 6 stores,
mm-hmm.
where all the cars go and sit and charge with little electric chargers. They go auto plug into them.
I think you're holding on to the hope that you'll keep your car nearby.
I think that the idea that all parking lots will vanish is silly, and I think that
I think that a lot of them will.
Yeah, I think there'll be bigger central parking lots that, hey, if you're at this King Supers or at this Walmart.
I don't think that it'll be like your car will drop you off at King Supers and then drive 20 miles back to your house while you're shopping
it'll
and then have to come drive back to you.
Probably have the option where you say only do 10-minute runs from this location and that. So,
I mean, really the truth is that's one of the other things they were saying was that with automated cars, congestion will go away. Because one of the reasons we have congestion, as Disney was so good at showing back in the day, is that everybody does what's called the 2-mile minus, which is you will hit your brakes and slow down to 30 miles an hour, and I will hit my brakes and slow down to 28 miles an hour, and Chelsea will hit her brakes and slow down to 26 miles an hour, and everybody slows down at a -2. So by the time you get to the point, it's not that everybody slowed down to 30. It's not that everybody... Wow. Everybody didn't slow down to 30. Everybody slows down to 0.
Yeah.
But when you have automated cars, everybody will slow down to 30.
What if I'm running 5 minutes late? I can't tell my car to go faster than the other ones. It's not going to listen to me.
Well, you shouldn't be doing that anyway.
And then you'll be late.
But I'm forever the 5 minutes late queen.
You'll be
late.
Well,
then be on time, Chels.
I think of that a lot. Things happen, right?
I always think of that too because
already for school and oh crap, you forgot his lunchbox. You have to run back into the house and grab the lunchbox. Now you're 2 minutes late.
I know.
You will be 2 minutes late. You can't make that up in the car.
Well, I know, but that's the thing. You don't want to make that up in a car. Anybody will tell you speeding around because you're late is not exactly a good idea. I mean, the idea that you're like, haha, I will make up those 2 minutes by going 95 miles an hour in a 45 is not exactly one of the most ideal.
Mythbusters has actually shown that you don't make up that much time.
You don't make up a lot of time.
I expect to make up 1 or 2 minutes, but no more than that.
Yeah, but you don't make up that much time. But what you do,
because the car is automated now, you just tell the car to call your boss and say, I'm running 2 minutes late. Here's my exact location.
Right. Yeah, you can summon your boss and
just
and
you can put a macro on your car to say suck it at the end of everything it says.
Oh, that's what I need to do.
Yeah, macros.
Troy, I'm on my way to your house. Suck it.
And I'll say,
Chelsea, it's time for Geek Tank. Suck it.
Cop, got your message, guy. Your mom.
So, thanks, Troy.
Yep,
your mom.
Yep. So I think what's the harder thing's going to be is for people to give that up, like what Chelsea's saying. People aren't going to want to give up their control over what they're doing.
That's usual of everything. I mean, this is the airplane rule.
Because it doesn't shift from first to second gear fast enough for me. I'm just like, shift, dang it, shift.
You need an automatic bleeping machine, guy.
I do.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
It's funny.
But I know our first time we covered the show and we had Anna on as our guest, that was one of her things was she did not want to give up control, and I can understand that.
And we talked about the airplane thing, how people hate airplanes because they're afraid they're going to die in crashes, even though airplanes are safer. Mm. And the real reason isn't because of the fact
control.
That it's that they don't have control.
I do.
And they think of the 2 minutes of terror as the plane falls from the sky, where they're just going to spend the entire time going, I'm dying. And they spend that entire time.
Yeah.
Have they looked into automated motorcycles? Because how would that work?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Balance
that's
in
their balance
that seems, yeah.
Like that.
I think sidecar.
Those funky three-wheel vehicles, the reverse three-wheel thingies.
They're talking about self-driving boats.
What's this all about?
A self-boat.
That's my Canadian. What's this all about?
It's all about.
So I have a problem is sometimes I'm a really bad passenger because I've been in a car accident. I've been in a couple that were really bad, and I
so you
have
keep hitting the brake
trauma for yeah. So I usually brake a little bit early. It drives my boyfriend crazy, but I brake a little bit early, and I sometimes freak out about lane changes. I get a little passive aggressive, and I wait for that really big opening, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
when, you know, even though my boyfriend has been driving me around for 2 years, because he usually drives when we go out, I'll still freak out a little bit. But I'm a very aggressive driver, he says. He's like, you're very aggressive, you're very go get it. And maybe that's just because I'm in control, but like when I'm sitting in the passenger seat, I'm like, please don't like swerve into the next lane and please don't take this turn at like 15 miles an hour. I would take it at 5. And he's like, but you take this turn at 15 miles an hour all the time. Like,
well, there's an adaptive driving that's required when dealing with other human drivers. Mm-hmm. I've had occasionally a few student drivers who needed to get through that red light.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's understanding the spatial differences, being able to look at a car 300 feet away and do the math as to is it going fast enough that I have time to clear this safely or I don't have time to clear this safely. And usually, until you get a good feel for that, you get someone who will wait extra long time when they could have gone.
Yeah.
Which, as long as nobody's behind you getting impatient, then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is getting somebody behind you that's impatient and has decided today's the day that you want to test out if their gun works or not.
Gay like, Merca. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because, man, road rage is the hardest thing to try to teach students how to avoid and to be in a victim of.
Yeah.
So self-driving cars should remove all of that.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Then people will get mad at other stuff.
If you're in a sour mood,
they'll find something else.
Car in a grumpy mood, like maybe that driver is playing with their kids and you don't like kids and you just start flipping them off, making rude.
Well, they'll start punching the inside of their car because they'll be mad at their car for not going faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you'll get exactly what Chelsea was talking about. You'll get what. Yeah. I'm sorry, Chelsea. I didn't mean to talk over you. But I mean, we'll get what she was talking about. You know, it's like, oh, I've got to be at work in 5 minutes. Oh, the GPS says 8.
Like, come on.
Oh,
like,
no, hurry, you stupid car.
And I'm not in control, so I can't make you go any faster because you're obeying the rules.
I mean, people are going to have to learn Zen. They're going to have to learn to be more Zen.
Because
that's what I do all the time. I do that all the time. I sit there whenever I'm driving, and I'm like what you were saying. I mean, we've got the bus. The bus is going to be leaving at, you know, 7:36 in the morning. I know that. It's 7:34 on my clock. Mm-hmm. If I don't make the bus, I have to drive the kids all the way to school. Mm-hmm. It's a long haul to the school. I don't want to. I lose an hour of my day if I have to drive them all the way down to school.
Well, with the self-driving car, you could throw your kids in the car and leave them. You don't even need to be in the car with them. Yeah.
But I mean, I know that. But it's not going to help to just get freaked out and drive.
Speaking of that, are there going to be parental controls in the car?
Yeah.
If you set your kids in the car.
Joyriding is not going to be half as fun if you can just get in and say, go. This doesn't help.
I wonder if they'll have like voice recognition.
Could you stick your 6-year-old in a car and send them off by themselves?
Mm-hmm. I've got one more. One more.
One more.
A motorcyclist in San Francisco sued GM because it got hit by a self-driving car.
Was this the car that was in the center lane? It was trying to move to the left lane of traffic and it saw the gap closing, so it moved back into the center and the motorcycle clipped it on the side?
Mm-hmm. Sues GM. So who's responsible when an automated car...
Yeah, they need to sue the driver. Because at this point, at level twos, driver's still responsible.
Yeah, but this is an automated car in San Francisco. These are test cars, and there was no drivers.
Oh, okay. So not, it was...
But that's
the biggest thing
but
is
it still brings
he
me...
Didn't
yeah,
get
no
hurt.
Driver. But it brings me to the... The cyclist didn't get hurt. But it's still one of those things.
Like,
it was like...
scraped a knee, I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
wow.
I mean, look. But it's less this specific incident and more the psychological or the more the mental experiment.
This is going to be an insurance nightmare.
Well, it becomes the legality of the levels. If you're talking level higher than that, then it becomes the creators of the car and the people of the program.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who's responsible?
Although at this point, like property
level
ownership,
four, level five.
If you have a crack in your sidewalk and you own your home, and someone trips on that crack in the sidewalk, they can sue you as a homeowner.
Right. Well, that's true too.
So if the car is your property, then it becomes your responsibility as the owner of the property.
Mm-hmm.
So GM being the owner, if it was a test car, not an actual person who owns it.
Wow.
Somebody got ran over by a motorcycle.
Speaking of motorcycles.
So
there was a Velociraptor.
And this is America, so you're going to get lawsuits for all kinds of stuff.
Sure. Well,
really
yeah. I mean, it's easy money. Yeah. So
like I merged into a lane on top of a car and tried to go between two lanes and I got hit.
Mm-hmm.
You're being dumb. You're not supposed to go between lanes.
Well, the good news is these automated cars are going to have cameras.
Yes.
So everything's going to be recorded.
You can at least
get more
see
than the Russian dash cam vids.
We're going to get some awesome videos.
Well, and it's going to be interesting trying to see people and try to commit insurance fraud.
Yeah.
Like they do in Russia, where they will slow-mo fall on the car and then roll. Have you seen those videos?
They have a future as a soccer player.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're funny.
They do have futures as soccer players. Definitely. Definitely. Particular forwards and midfielders. They seem to cry the most. Let's go to our AWWA.
All right, so our question for our Ask Us Anything is, what never fails to make you laugh?
Yay!
I pass this to Chelsea.
Da-da-da. So I was watching news bloopers because we watch a lot of like fail videos when we're feeling down and we just binge them because they're so funny. But every time the world's ugliest dog comes up, I die. Peanut, the world's ugliest dog.
Just makes you just
it's
like
freaking ugly.
Okay.
I laugh really hard every single time. Like I will cry laughing because that poor dog is so ugly.
Gotcha.
Is
he the world's ugliest dog?
He's officially the world's ugliest.
He's very
well, the world's ugliest dog that entered the contest.
Yeah. That entered the contest.
Yes, but he's.
There are probably uglier dogs,
he's
but
ugly.
This one's pretty.
He's just funny looking.
Does he take the cake?
Yes. Well, and he has like this expression, and his teeth are really bad, and his hair is really bad, and his eyes are bulging. He looks so wackadoodle. It's perfect. It's good. It's good stuff.
Wackadoodle dog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Troy, what thing never fails to make you laugh?
So there's a series of YouTube videos called Blanca is a Troll, and they were created by someone called Street Troller. I looked up. But if you just search Blanca is a Troll on YouTube, you can find it. Now, there is some language in some of the videos because what this person has done is taken fail videos of people failing, like crashing their motorcycle or running down a beach and tripping and falling. Mm-hmm. And they've after effects Blanca, the troll from the video game Street Fighter, into it, doing attack moves and timed to knock the people over.
Right.
And the one that I love is this little kitten's falling asleep, and right before his head falls on his... bed, Blanca reaches over and smacks him, and eventually knocks him out.
Wham!
So those videos, no matter how many times I watch them, I just find hilarious and chuckle at them.
Gotcha. Well, for me, the things that always make me laugh until tears come rolling down my cheeks are always the autocorrect text fails, where they're texting their mom and
their mom,
and they text something really funny, you know, like, and it just becomes so hysterical. And it's because often I think of my mom.
Your mom.
Who would, A, think that that was a riot, and she would just, okay, well, the game's on. I could just totally see her doing that, going, aha, you know, he's not going to live this one down. You know, and it's, you know, and I'd be like, oh, no.
And they're
typically,
they're typical autocorrects that turn out very dirty.
Yeah, right. It's not the ones that are, you know, normal autocorrects. It's the ducking, you know, and stuff like that that never go the way that you're. And you're like, some of them make me laugh so much because of it's like the, why would the phone think that ducking went that way? Why would it default that way?
No, no.
Just out of curiosity.
Because you type the other word in a lot.
Yeah, I guess so.
Damn you, autocorrect is a great site to just go on intro.
Or you send the text
some
to the wrong person.
Some of those just crack me up, and they make me laugh.
I often wonder if some of those are real or not, but they're still funny regardless.
They're still funny. So if you have anything that you think you want us to
check out,
or if you have any questions you want us to answer, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Okay, that's all the time we've got for today. I'd like to thank Tesla, Waymo. Yeah, we've got all kinds of
Google,
automatic Google,
BMW,
Boston's Optimus Ride. There's some good stuff out there. UPS. Anybody else? Uber. There's some good stuff that were discussed in this particular.
And the SAE for their fine work.
The SAE for their fine work and telling us what our different levels are.
Yeah. If only people would actually learn them.
Yes, lots of banging going on.
I want to hear, what do you think about, you know, self-driving cars? Are there any particular concerns you have, or do you feel like this really is a good answer to, you know, working within our time limits and helping us to get around a little bit safer and more efficiently? Or is this a bad idea, and why is it a bad idea? What could go wrong?
And I'd like to thank you for listening to us drone on about ourselves. We do it so naturally. We really appreciate you listening to us do our auto-neurotic aspirations.
Boo.
Yep, well, that's it for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And I've been Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank 322.
As always, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Join the conversation on Twitter at RMGeekTank. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Tumblr for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license.
Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis, C. Troy Floor, and Chelsea Kramer.
Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis asking, dude, where is my car? Good night.